Episode 76, Having Some Data Pancakes with Tom Ferrara of Pancake Analytics. All right, so welcome to the Card Diary. I am your host, Any Cards, and continuing this series of reporters and watchdogs in the hobby, we have a very special guest today, Tom of Pancake Analytics fame on Instagram and other social media platforms. Is that right? All right. We're gonna get to you in a little bit. I just wanted to ask that. Where's your main social media presence? Instagram. All right. Awesome. You drop knowledge on everyone in social media. It's kind of like you're like Steph Curry dropping buckets. Actually, I shouldn't use that analogy. Who is your favorite basketball player? Ooh. I continue to have a string, unintended, because we didn't talk about this. More New York guests on the podcast, just so happens. It might be not just the mecca with the Madison Square Garden, but the mecca of the hobby. I don't know. Burbank might get really upset about that. Here we go. East Coast, West Coast. Okay. Let's go. Tupac, Biggie. Let's do it. So when you wrote Hit 'Em Up, no, I'm just kidding. that was the West Coast, I guess with Tupac. Jalen Brunson. Okay, so Patrick Ewing misses that finger roll layup, back rim. I remember that. Then Allen Houston hits his double not like a Kawhi Leonard bounce, that was crazy, but he hits a little floater jumper that does go in, right, to beat the Heat. I mean, and then, of course, I probably shouldn't mention the Charles Smith thing against the Bulls. That was just, he didn't even get that shot up. That means you had good parents. I think I might have stayed up, but probably because my parents, not because they were they were strict, but they were like tiger parents, but I probably like did something nefarious to try to watch the game. But I was more of a Jordan fan at that time, but I mean, I remember that definitely. So you have an older brother, so you guys are all into sports and cards and the hobby. Ooh, did not notice. All right, same last name. All right, I won't ask here, but you are okay with your last name being said on the podcast? Okay, so Tom, is it pronounced Ferrara? Ferrara, that, and I was going to say Lewis Hamilton, right? Or is that Port? No, it is Ferrari. Is it? Oh my gosh. I know he's moving. I know he's leaving Mercedes, but okay, this is not a Formula One podcast. Although maybe, I mean, we just transition into that. Okay, so your name. Okay, so I got to say this. We DM'd a little bit. You said you would give me kudos because I said, what should I call you? And you're like, man, I've been called everything. So the list you gave me was Tom, Pancakes, Pancake, Mr. Cakes, Professor Pancake. Those are all good. I'm going to just maybe if I remember, I'll try to weave them in. I also like pan because that is the word for bread in Spanish or pan. Pan, Mr. Pan, Señor Pan. Oh, there you go. I love it. I really appreciate that you don't take yourself too seriously, but you do take data seriously. I mean, would you say that's pretty accurate? Hmm. Yeah. Let's get into that. So, some you have been I want to get into how we know each other, but you have been on this podcast at least by reference. Perhaps, this is the first time in the guest seat, which I really appreciate your time with, but you have asked when I solicit the Instagram audience for questions for prior guests, you've been always good at asking insightful questions. And I did solicit the Instagram audience for questions for you. And I haven't, let me just say, I haven't received any, which makes me think either, the algorithm. Oh, everyone's talking about, oh, the algorithm. I can't, no one's watching my boring content. No, I'm just kidding. Half kidding. But either they didn't see it, or it was too soon, too recent, or people are just super intimidated by you, and they're like, how do I ask this guy a question? He's it's just too. I guess my question is, how intimidating do you think you are? Gotcha. Good. Yes. Yes, I love it. Yes. Wait, pancakes are serious now all of a sudden? Before we get into seriousness, the transition is going to be talking about that very important subject matter. Because I have very, and I'm not going to call them hot takes, although hot pancakes, hot waffles, we're going to get into that. But before I get into waffles and pancakes, the ever ongoing debate and struggle, which, by the way, I'm like, just have both. I don't know. Why not? Not doesn't have to be binary. Just I mean, more calories. But the first way I got to know you commented something really nice. It was informative. It was like I was talking about comps. I don't remember exactly the post and when I posted, but I remember I was like, oh, this pancake analytics. He like commented. It was a great way to find comps, which was eBay's Terapeak. And I was like, oh wow, I didn't even know about this. And I realized I, like many things in the hobby, just kind of like scratched the surface because it's so hard to deep dive into things because there's only so much time, knowledge, resources. Sometimes you just need someone to kind of like point you in the right direction. So I found that there is like a pay. I mean, can you explain eBay's Terapeak to me and others, please? Distinct sellers. And is that because So when we get when you say distinct sellers, is that because people have to relist because of non-payers and they basically sell the same card, same listing title, and it just seems like this card has transacted 5 times over the past year, but it really is just the same card that just doesn't get paid for, Trey Young. Would you say that's accurate? Okay. Yeah. Glitches. That's a such a nice way to talk about it's like the Matrix, the glitches. Neo. API, I had to look it up because I know kind of what it means, but application programming interface. GUI I knew is graphic user interface. That's like just Windows, whatever we're at now. I was gonna say Windows 95. Yeah, this podcast is from 1995 here. But yeah, no, that's a really good explanation of Terapeak. Thank you so much. So I am getting better with eBay sales myself as a seller. I'm still so new. I'm still selling these dollar cards and value bin cards, but store subscription is like, I mean, you know, it can be as, I forget exactly what it was, like as cheap as $5 to like $500 a month and all this stuff. But it's really great that you can get 3 years of data. So that's fantastic. I mean, information is power, right? Yeah. Okay. Balling on a budget. So, are you also a seller on eBay? Okay. Gotcha. Oh, no, absolutely. I get that. Okay, so enough about eBay because they are not a sponsor. Our second interaction, which I'm just gonna bring it up because you and I have DM'd about it, but we didn't really talk about it, which let's just do it here. It's like almost like therapy for me. Our second interaction wasn't too good. There is this gentleman who I refuse to have on this podcast. His name is Slapstrong Tim. He went live on Instagram during the National, which was such a big mistake on his part, but it was at the Beckett party. I'm not gonna say that I had too much. I'm gonna say that I was overserved. So I'm gonna deflect the blame and responsibility. Not only was I overserved, I think a lot of people were overserved. It was an open bar. But you know, I'm just kidding. Everyone relax. I'm not saying that it was Beckett's fault, and I'm not trying to say that they're trying to cancel me because I've called out grading companies. But I made some dumb comments and I did make some jokes. I at that point I had no clue who was on the live. I can't read Tim's Nokia flip phone. But you didn't find them tasteful, others didn't find them tasteful, and I did, because I am actually not a complete jerk, like some people may think I am. I did reach out to you and I did genuinely apologize for that. So I think we're good. I don't know. We've never talked about this over in person, but what are your thoughts? Why? They're terrible. They're terrible. He's staring at deer. He's like, look at this deer. And I'm like, all right, people want to rag on me for about cards, and he's looking at deer in his backyard. ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay. Before you proceed, your local show, is that the Bleecker? Is that the New York one? Oh my gosh, what am I thinking? Okay. Got it. So, this is the Bay Area Card Show. Awesome. Okay, proceed. I'm sorry about that. Area Card Show. Conference. That's right. Right. Yeah. Ah, that's right. I don't know what he does in general. He's such a wild card. You know, if Tim is listening, because I don't even know what he does, or but I do really appreciate Tim. I do want to have him on. I do appreciate the doors he's kind of opened up for me and given me kind of like a glimpse into, you know, people in the hobby in a really, you know, real way, like, you know, just kind of like transparent and honest. And those are folks I want to align myself with, you know, because there is a lot of just whatever you want to call it, BS, noise, and all that. But he's genuinely a good dude. So, Tim, if you're listening, you'll never be on this podcast. It's true. Yes. That is so true. Oh boy, here we go. Oh boy, this is now a marriage advice podcast. I want to get into the debate about waffles and pancakes, talking about not agreeing with each other, but who else have you kind of been introduced to either through Tim? Like, this was a question I had later for down the road in this recording, but it was going to be like, who are your influence, you know, who inspires you slash influences you, like whose content do you consume other than mine, of course. But you know, who do you kind of watch? Good. Good. Okay. Yeah, well, cage, lock cage, yep. LTT. Well, okay. So not Lorcana, the actual Disney World. Got it. Got it. All right. Neo's great. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Isn't that the really like underlying foundation of breaks is to get what you want for a cheaper price point without having to sift through all the cards or teams or players that you don't want. But of course, I mean, I think people it is so maligned. I just finished the Meet the Breaker series, and it's because people are angry or upset at the maybe not just the everyday breaker, but kind of like the tippy top, the tip of the iceberg, where there's a lot of margin, right? And I recently had on, and I just published it this morning, but it was a kind of like about break comp and how, you know, talking about like the price points of these breaks, and it's like they're the margins are like double what it should be, and people just buy into it because it's so easy. I mean, you know, you just when you're shopping online, it's too easy to like get caught up in that. So I totally get what you mean. But yeah, I mean, buying into breaks. I mean, but you gotta have fun too. I mean, Yeah. Oh, was not planned. I didn't know this. Breaking news. I'm excited. And yes, net promotion score. Okay, not National Park Services. Okay, net promotion score. ETO. I don't even have a joke for that one. ETL. Extract, transform, friend load, coding. I know GTL from Jersey Shore was Jim Tan Laundry. I remember that. I remember the shirt before the shirt. I remember, man, that was a wild time. Simpler times. Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Look, this is like the whole ecosystem. I mean, these are great. I mean, these are all great folks. All great folks. So data, okay. Because we've been having too much fun, I'm gonna have to like say, let's get to waffles and pancakes at the end. because I want to get into the reason you're here, the meat. And I want to have some fun with this too. It doesn't have to be all like, what is it? Chicken breast is white meat and it's drier, but then the dark meat, my favorite is boneless, skinless chicken thighs and just marinating them. Just my mouth is watering just thinking about this. I am the hungriest man in the hobby, of course. But data governance, you and I have DM'd about the, or you have shared with me how you do consider yourself a reporter and watchdog in the hobby, because there are four quadrants of analytics, which I want you to talk about because I think it's fascinating and I love it. And then let's just deep dive into that if we can. Okay. I mean, I've had one guest who, yes. Do you remember Arrested Development leaked to conclusions? They were trying to make that board game happen. Oh my God, so good. I need more Arrested Development memes in my, right now, the main memes I go to are like, it's always sunny in Philadelphia. I'm talking way too much coffee. It's always sunny in Philadelphia. Love it. And well, I can't remember the second one now, but Arrested Development, such a good show. So these are additive, like you said. So they are, you know, are they kind of like steps? Because I know quadrants, you got the chart in front of you and you got the four quadrants. I don't even know what to call them otherwise. But you have, are you saying if you jump diagnostic and you jump predictive and go straight from descriptive to prescriptive, it doesn't tell the whole story? Okay. See, that's the thing though. As someone who is as scatterbrained and like loves short form content more than long form, I'm talking about myself. It's like I have seen myself not want to take the steps to, you know, the effort to put in better content. Now I'm actually trying to make more skits and long form content. So it feels more like not work because it's all supposed to be fun and it's a hobby, but like it is harder. And I find myself during times when I'm either, you know, stretched for time or I just don't want to do something because no one in the hobby can force me to do anything in the hobby, which is why I love the hobby because it is the hobby. And I'll just keep saying that word over and over. It leans, it's almost like water that it's the easiest source is just, it's going to go down. It's going to be low effort. So you almost have to make a conscious effort to make more effort into things, right? I mean, do you find yourself like that too, maybe? Like, it's like, you got to put the work in, is what I'm saying, I guess. Mm. It really does sound a lot like Gemrate and Breakcomp, their websites. Kind of like, here's the information, do with it what you will, take it and run with it. It's just that a lot of people just don't want to run with it. They just want the TLDR. We just live in such a TLDR, right? Too long didn't read world. But wait a minute. Are you saying you get haters too? You, Tom, Pancake Analytics? All the time. Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. That's, well, I'm sorry that I signed into my burner account and said that. I'm so sorry. I didn't. I meant 2 degrees, not one. But no, that person, that they will. That person will never be the man or woman. I mean, let's be real. It's always men. That person will never be a man in the arena. They will not make their own content. And by the way, when I said that, I mean, most always when there's a troll, it's like just some dude. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there can be women trolls and all that. I don't want to be like that, but it's just these dudes who are just like criticizing everyone's content, and they don't have the whatever you want to call it, the wherewithal, the brains, the creativity to actually produce content. And so, All right. Wow. Again, I apologize for saying that. Wh while wearing a beard and a hat, a cowboy hat, I was wearing a cowboy hat, sunglasses, and a beard when I said that, and I apologize. Man, that's a gosh, these people. Some of them may be listening. I wonder if that person is like on Instagram. But anyway, let's not drop names here. That's for my other podcast. You know, it's really funny you talk about storytelling and like data, and like it's almost like vegetables. Like people don't want to eat their vegetables. They just want to eat the fast food, right? And they just want to consume, consume, consume. And I'm gonna botch this analogy or this story up, but JJ Redick, who's I think he's a wonderful, I don't know what, well, let me ask you, what do you think about JJ Redick? Oh my gosh, he's so good. He said in a tweet or an X or whatever you want to call it, or on Instagram, I'm sure I saw it on Instagram because I don't I don't travail X or anything like that. He was like, I will put up a step-by-step breakdown analysis of Zion's last 10 post moves, and it'll get no views. And then I make some sort of comment about Stephen A. Smith, and it gets 10 million views. And he's like, why would I make that 10 post analysis thing on Zion when you guys don't want it? You guys don't watch it. You guys tell me you want it. You guys tell me it's healthy vegetables, but in reality, you don't want to eat the vegetables. I mean, the vegetables part is me. He didn't say that part, but yeah. That's so nice. Yeah, and by the way, Zion doesn't even have 10 post moves. He has like two, maybe two. We're not talking like, you know, this isn't Danny Ainge or not Danny Ainge, he's a guard. Oh god, who's the big dude on the Celtics? McHale. McHale was like the king of post moves. Oh my goodness. All right. When you present, so yes, you have sports cards and you have the Comic Cons, and New York Comic Con is like probably the second biggest to the Anaheim one, right? I mean, I've been to the New York Comic Con, this is like years ago, before kids and before everything. I remember, well, is it, it's still in the Javits Center, right? Oh, okay. MegaCon. Okay. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Wow, 170,000. How big is the Anaheim one? Because they keep saying that's the biggest one. I thought that one was like 170,000. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I said Anaheim. Yes, San Diego Comic-Con. Right. That's right. I see. I see. And I imagine there's also like the whole per visitors per day versus like the aggregate. Because I know like right now, to use another analogy, and I love this one because it has to do with like fair food. And I love Americana. I just need fair food. I just need everything just dipped in batter and deep fried. The Dallas fair and the Minnesota fair, I think consistently state fairs say that they're the largest. And then I forget which one is which, but one has like the most in aggregate over the number of the entire days of the fair, because it's like almost like a week long. And then the other one, it's like, well, on average per day, we have the most. And then, you know, they're all fighting over who's bigger and bigger, but at the end of the day, it's like it's a fair, it's fun. Let's, I mean, who cares who's the biggest? It's like a great time. And so I definitely want to go to one of those two. It's just, you know, the ones in my area are just so, like, I guess, rinky dink compared to those. But no, see, now I want to talk about waffles and pancakes, but we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there before. Deep fried Oreos are just so good. Oh my gosh. Yes. Let's just talk about that. Let's just name all the foods and get people who are driving to or from work just salivating. They're either ready to you know, make some dinner, and they're like, these guys are talking about deep fried Oreos. Yeah. That's true. Hey, everyone, I brought donuts. Such a you're come the office hero. So here's the thing. And I am very much getting hungry. You had mentioned to me in our, you know, conversations, and I'm not going to betray any confidences here, but like, you know, when it comes to data analytics and reporting, like, you know, you did consider part of that is Watchdog stuff, and it's been hard for me to get a Watchdog onto this podcast because apparently I'm part of the positivity crew. But data governance, I remember one other comment or phrase you said was outlier anomaly detection. So can we talk about and two other ones, validating against multiple sources and query review. So could you kind of talk me through some of those terms and like how you do in a way consider this you know, like watchdog work? Yes. Okay, so I did not know what KPI stood for, so I did quickly Google it. Key performance indicator. So my follow-up question to that, which I really like, is before we get to the other ones, so what would be the threshold? I mean, you know, if you use an outlier number like 2,000%, you know, of course it's going to be caught, but like how close could you almost in a way like calibrate the system, right? And it may differ for the sport, the industry, the sector, whatever, but like, you know, if a car does 2x what it did 2 months ago, but we know that that player had an incredible, you know, month, Eastern Conference Player of the Month or whatever it is, right? It's going to go up. Well, some people think it doesn't matter. Performance doesn't matter on the court, but what would you say is a general good range for a threshold for detection? Nerd glasses. Okay. Okay. Yes. So I took statistics in college. So I have a general understanding. I don't know much about this stuff at all. I don't talk about what type of work I do, but it's not in this field at all. I also know that there's this thing called bell curves and standard deviations, and how in general that if something's more than two standard deviations away from the norm, that that is generally, and of course there are exceptions, I guess, but that it's like an outlier, or that, you know, there that people generally flag things that are more than two standard deviations away from a norm. Does that kind of also go into what you're saying here a little bit? Yeah. Smoothing. Yes, you got it. You beat me to the joke. Smoothing, absolutely. Smooth out those edges, people. No, not sponsored by. No, but when it comes to smoothing and dampening, like the, we're talking about, like variance and noise, right? Kind of like the, like a random, you know, 10 sales out of 10 sales, nine of them are within $90 to $100, and then you got this one sale that's like $10 or $350, and you're like, what is that? I mean, we can not throw it out, but maybe there's a way to explain it, right? Maybe. Again, that's maybe too extreme of an example, but I know as an eBay seller who's trying to get better at it, there are these golden hours or better days or better times to post, or for auctions to end, for auctions to start slash end. And so people talk about that. They're like, man, you know, this sale, if the data, if 130 or Card Ladder or Market Movers, whatever, shows that this auction ended at 12 p.m. on a Tuesday. It just ended at a bad time. Yeah. Tilt. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. You're ruining my comp. I have a value of this card, and you are destroying the comp value. And yeah. Oh, I love. That's fascinating. I've never heard of this strategy. I mean, I hope people are listening to this really consider, like, again, you're not telling people to do this, but it's just a different way to look at it. I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, you know, I try to think very globally and, like, you know, think to my, I forget what number we're at now, but, like, you know, actually the podcast does not go up on in Korea, but the that's why I'm actually trying to get some stuff up onto YouTube, because that has no restrictions unless maybe you're in Russia or something like that. No, nothing against my Russian listeners, if there are any, but just restrictions. But global, different time zones. Like, I keep thinking Eastern and to Pacific, those four time zones. But you can get into the international global pro like program, like you said, and it's that's really interesting. 'Cause yeah, for us, we're like, why would this thing end on Tuesday at, you know, lunchtime? But to someone else, that's like a Wednesday evening. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Hidden gems. It, I mean, isn't that, again, kind of going into the cards of like digging through a dollar box and finding a huge, $100 card? I mean, there's people who make content. Yeah. Going through a binder, finding something amazing, finding like, how many people talk about, oh, I want to know a band before they make it big, right? Kind of like the hidden gem. Oh man, I saw Postal Service before they went to, the Amway Arena or whatever it is, right? So, I'm not very big on music, so I'm just trying to learn. I just said random things that my wife has maybe talked about. But no, that's really, yes, it's got to be about fun. I mean, people take the hobby so seriously, and there's definitely like the serious sides. And I think there's so much seriousness because there's so much money, and with money comes the stress, and with the stress comes the seriousness and all that. But like you just mentioned, how you're ROI positive, which means return on investment, you're going to make money on a card. You're having fun with it. You're experimenting, and you're trying different things out. I think a lot of people just are either risk averse or fun averse. I don't know what to call it, but they just feel like they have to win every transaction. And here you are just being like, look, I can win on this and you can win on this, and let's just have some fun. I think that's great. That's a great approach. Ooh. Oh. Yeah. Take that, great curator. It's not all about the pump and dump. Just kidding. Come on, Dan. I'm gonna feud with him later. One, I don't have many comics, but one of the ones that I loved, a prized possession type of things, was Infinity Gauntlet issue one, volume one, issue one. I love the, I guess that's why people like the Avenger movies. It's not just one person. And there's something so great to be said about the one person, man, woman's journey and the anti-hero and all this stuff. But when everything mashes up together, call me a comic simp if you want, but like the What If series, just like, oh my gosh, like as a kid, I'm just like, oh man, what if that did happen? And I used to love that stuff. And so I still have it. I don't know. I got to dig that up. I don't know where it is. It could be in Korea with my parents for all I know, but it's just the infinite, just. I just got one request for you, Tom, and or Mr. Pants in your pond, and that's please don't snap your fingers while wearing it or while having it. I really enjoy this. I know we have a hard stop in like 5 minutes. We got to get to waffles and pancakes. I have these other questions. I was going to talk about how do you monetize your work, how important is the presentation of the data, all this stuff, but we can't end without talking about this. I'm going to set the stage, and we can go back and forth, and we can have a heated debate. We can just get, all right, here's the thing. All right. And by the way, are you friends with Bagels and Wax, Vadim? Because are Bagels, of him. Okay. Okay. I think he's a really good dude. That's true. Yeah. Bagels. Oh, wow. Awesome. Oh, it's just, just a matter of time before you guys talk about all carbohydrates. So let's keep it only to waffles and pancakes. I just had that question because we're talking about starch products here. Here's the thing, okay? One of my favorite stats and highlights is seeing like a big offensive lineman just crush the defender, and that's called a pancake. And they actually keep those stats now. They didn't keep them back in the 80s and 90s, but you know, like play Madden and all that, and it comes up. Oh, I did want to say this. Shout out to Drummond Collector Teapot, who was trying to talk about how offensive linemen get no love in the hobby. And again, keep the stats of the grunt workers, and you will see maybe more like comparisons and maybe some more love. I don't know. But here's the thing about pancakes and waffles, okay? I am team waffle. I'm not anti-pancake because you can love both. But here's my rationale, and I want to get your take or your comments. Waffles, it's like a small intestine where you have so much surface area to absorb that sweet, delicious maple syrup. And so there's just so much more nooks and crannies. And I'm not getting into English muffins, just waffles and pancakes. I love waffles for their little pockets of juicy gooiness. On the other hand, and this is where I'm going to give pancakes some props, when you have melting butter, you don't want that to compartmentalize into just one or two pockets of the waffle because then it gets too salty. Whereas for the pancakes, they distribute much more evenly, like maybe let's call it a bell curve. They spread all across the surface of the pancake. So that all said, one of my favorite things in continental breakfast is when you wake up in a hotel, Holiday Inn Express, and you get that Belgian waffle maker and you just make your own Belgian waffle. I love that. Your turn. Okay. Right. It's almost like the, I don't know if you would agree with this analogy, but kind of like the mashed potatoes of a Thanksgiving dinner plate. It's like it's the conduit or the way to get to the gravy into your mouth or something like that, where it's like it's there and it's almost like it's integral to the proceedings, right? I mean, you need some sort of carbohydrate on, you know, if you're gonna have all the greasy bacon and sausages and all that and eggs. So it serves a purpose. And I really like the what you said about the more control. Now, are you one of those folks who makes like these elaborate Mickey Mouse like the spray in the squeezy bottles? Like I think Jimmy Kimmel and other people really make these like intricate designed pancakes. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. I know you have to go, but that just opens up a whole nother. I'm gonna DM you later. And this is the first time I am absolutely, yeah. What is that movie or Leo DiCaprio like, first you pique my interest, now you have my attention, something like that. Tom, Miss Senior Pun, Mr. Pun, Mr. Cakes, Mr. Pancakes. I didn't use all of them because I didn't reference you by name, but this was so much fun. Thank you so much for being on this podcast and just everything you do for the hobby. Thank you so much. All right. Take care. Yep. All right. Let's let's sign out here. And everyone listening, thank you so much. And yep, if you're watching on video, my first time, my dog's making an appearance because she's very like, what's going on? Probably has to go to the bathroom. All right, take care, Tom. Okay, bye.